This is Julie Christie. I'm talking to Jack Wiltshire at his home at Bonnells Bay. Jack worked at the RAF Air Base and a number of other establishments during the war and before and after the war. And he's an electrical fitter.
Electrical fitter mechanic and electrical contractor. We were talking earlier, Julie. My employer was the Department of Interior, a Commonwealth Government department that did all Army, Navy, Air Force, Commonwealth Police Officers, anything connected with the Commonwealth, and I was employed with them as an electrician, and I'd be sent anywhere, mainly in New South Wales.
Mm-hmm.
My working life with the Department of Interior, I work with RAF of England, technicians on the radar units, the Royal Australian Air Force at Rathmines mainly in Williamtown, United States Marine Corps at Gangan Army Camp, United States Air Force did the strip lighting at Williamtown for night flying.
How did you travel? Did you have your own vehicle?
Government utility. I was either transported, if there's two or three of us to go different places, but we never had our own. To have your own transport was impossible.
Mm.
But we had transport and it was more or less unlimited fuel tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Did a lot of travelling by truck.
Mm-hmm.
We had trucks going to Williamtown. We had to cross the ferry them days. So it was early start, the ferry coming back.
Mm.
And I stopped with them after the war, quite a few years after, and then went back in the coal mines.
So what did your work entail when you went out to places? Did you have to actually wire them up for power? Or?
Yes. We'd wire them up for power, put the substation in, do the poles, the buildings. At Rathmines, I was mainly on maintenance. If things broke down, it would be just like you'd call an electrician.
Mm-hmm. So you had to travel out from Nobby's to Rathmines? You weren't based
in because Rathmines was my depot, well, finished up being my depot.
Uh-huh.
I had most of my work from there. I rented a little 30 bob a week, a little weekend at fishing point. Bought the wife and children up.
Mm-hmm.
That was a start. I never left the place. Used to pay 30 shillings a week rent and 1 3 sanitary.
Did they come and collect it?
Yes.
So what sort of things did you do at Rathmines at the airbase?
Oh, it was expanding all the time. They were continually putting up new huts, and then we'd do the electrical on all the huts and then all the power supply to them. But my main job there was the maintenance, things breaking down.
Mm.
And then the WEFs arrived. It was another big complex for them to live.
Mm-hmm.
They had to be segregated. That was my depot, but from there I was sent to various. One location I went to was radar units at Moyne Camp at Swansea.
Yep. What did you have to do there?
I went out there with a bundle of plans under my arm and myself. It was only bush.
Mm.
And then I had a labourer, and I was there right through from till the RAF of England sent some technicians out to commission the place.
Right.
I was there for the whole, all the electrics.
Do you remember when that was? What year?
I think it might be now. Unfortunately, we have a gentleman down the end here who's a government valuer.
Mm-hmm.
He has my books on that. He's doing a job for the Navy now.
Mm-hmm.
He goes all over Australia. I went out there recently with two of your council people.
Right.
There was a group went out there.
Yeah. Was that the day that you went?
Were you in that day?
Yeah, it's about the same. As soon as you said my camp, but we went out with you and your son.
That's right.
Yeah,
yeah. And you had a lady with you.
Yeah, Anita.
Yeah.
We went out and Vicky took us out there. As soon as you mentioned my camp, I remember that's what I'd seen before.
Yeah. Well, when I went there was nothing. Mm. When I left, it was working.
Mm. How long did that take, do you reckon?
A long while.
And you travelled there every day?
Yes.
Did you drive or did you go by boat?
No, boat. At that period I was living in Swansea.
Oh, right.
My wife's a Swansea girl. Living in front. We'd go out and the truck would pick us up.
Right.
Everyone would get on the back of the truck. If you'd done that today, you'd get booked.
Yeah.
Well, I was an electrician on the mine camp job for the whole thing. When they were pouring concrete, I still hopped in and helped them on the bales. I helped them all the time. I didn't have to, rather than doing anything. But there's always pipes to go on the concrete, cables to go in, before the pour was on. And everything was done by hand.
Mm.
All the foundations. There was no machinery. The only machine we had was a concrete mixer.
Mm.
And they were good days. And then I went from there to a bit of work at Tonnery Point on the radar station.
Right.
And I was sent down to one of Booty Booty at Gosford to do the installation there. Got the train down there. The accommodation was arranged for me through the office. Got a hire car, went out to the site.
Got
nothing there. And they pulled the plug on that. It was never built.
Right.
Well, to my knowledge, it was never built.
Mm. What about at Rathmines? You mentioned there was a power station there. What did you have to do with that?
It was our emergency power station.
Mm.
If we had a blackout, same as a hospital, it wouldn't start itself. You'd go down and kick it over, and you're independent of power.
Right.
But as I said earlier, when the blackouts were on, they were short of power, I'd run it about 2 hours of enough, around tea time. We'd disconnect ourselves from the grid and be independent.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the creek was over, cut it down and go home.
Mm-hmm.
They paid overtime for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it ran on diesel, was that right?
Yeah, diesel.
So
finished up going into a drawer up in Queensland somewhere, and they sold it.
How big was it?
I can't remember in kilowatts, my memory's too. It was big.
Mm.
I think you were using it as a depot now, aren't you? We also had another switching station further up the road. We'd supply the power, and there's another brick building there that you use as a store. It was our distribution to go all around the airbase. It's still there.
Right, and where is that?
Well, you come down Dorrington to the picture show?
Yes.
Turn left?
Yep.
Halfway between there and the bowling
alley. Yes. Yeah, I think
so we have power to go from powerhouse to that and then to them.
And that powered the base and how much else?
Only the base.
Oh, right.
I went heavy, really.
Mm.
Have you been up, you've seen the underground transmitting station?
No, I've seen pictures of it.
It's a private land now.
Mm.
Have you been out to the...
Ignorant.
It's still... The foundations are out there. The igloo's still out in the bush.
Mm.
On the way home. It's not far from the new roundabout.
Is that the radar special...
No. It was a transmitted receiving communication.
Yes, that's right. Did you install some of that?
I installed everything.
Oh, right.
I did the transmitter and receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Everything electrical.
Right.
Everything.
Where did that equipment come from? Was it produced in Australia?
Oh, no, they built the igloo. It was all, they get their mainly by, in them days, the old AWA.
Right.
Australian Wireless Association.
Okay, so it was built in, it was Australian equipment?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, yes, the Australian equipment. And it's still out there, full of water.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's still, I've never burned up the other one, but you'd be able to get permission to go and have a look at that.
Mm-hmm.
We put a power cable in from the end of our power lines in the airbase, all the way up to the receiving station, all hand dug.
Mm. Did you dig it?
No way. I laid the cable.
Right. So who did dig it? Was it our from the base? Oh,
people
from your...
The civilian labours.
Mm-hmm.
And nearly all old men.
Mm.
There was no young men available.
No.
And a terrible country clay. And when we got up close to it, well, we weren't underground all the way. We were underground the last bit that if enemy aircraft came over, which in days we thought they would, but it's impossible, they wouldn't see the power lines.
Yeah.
So we had power lines up past heavy roads and then underground all the way up.
Quite modern, really.
Yes.
So those cables are still in the ground? Gone.
surreptitiously remove the scrap copper.
Oh, right.
I remember Catalina from Athmise landing at Nelson's Bay in the main channel, hit a submerged sandbar, and that was after the war, enduring. Sam Mahemini was killed on ground. And another time, a single engine aircraft coming from, what's that place out of Sydney, Sydney West?
Richmond?
Yeah. They ran out of fuel. He landed in Lake Macquarie. So they went out and lifted him up and brought him to Rathmines. That's the aircraft. Just little things like that.
You said there was a lot of social activity. So did you sort of mix with the personnel on the airbase very much socially?
I had a picture show there. In fact, I rewired the picture show with more modern equipment. And Val and the children, Bill and Robin, all local people within the vicinity, like Herbie Reed and Val and myself working there, they were given permits and they could go to the pictures. So they go to the pictures. This is post-war though, not
Oh, right.
Post-war. It might have happened during the war, I forget.
So was it built for the services, the picture show, or?
Oh, yes.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's still there. It's a community hall.
Oh, yes, I know it. The big one.
Yeah. And it was a picture show, and it was, you get a big crowd there. And I put the Prime Minister of Australia on the screen before we started. I put the President of the USA on, and everyone would yell out, "Where's Joe?" And they put Joe on after that.
Joe
Starling.
Oh. They knew he was coming on.
Well, he wasn't. In the early days, it was only our Prime Minister and American Prime Minister. We were two at war.
Yeah.
But then, when Russia got involved in the war on Europe, and we had a lot of, in fact, I had two uncles over there, three, one is still over there dead, shot down. I started to respect Russia as an ally. And Joe Stalin, he turned out to be a bit of a villain, but...
Oh, that's interesting.
So, where's Joe? And I had to add that to the photographs.
Right.
I put the photographs.
Oh, right. So what sort of films did you see there? Can you remember any of them?
No. They were the films of the time that did the rounds around the picture show.
Yeah. What about the serials?
There was no serials.
But you know they had... I was thinking like Hopalong Cassidy, that type of thing. Or was that after?
Well, I used to go to the pictures when I was going to high school. It cost me shipments to go in. Matinee. And I really got wrapped up in those serials. You wouldn't miss them. They were good.
And where did you go up?
That machine on or off. Off. Father was a World War I soldier. Dad got badly wounded. Came home in 19. And when they came home, they were both off the land. And they took up soldier settler blocks in the Mallee in Victoria. They got a block of each. It turned out to be a failure because when they cleared the valley, which is the eucalypt, the wind erosion came and the soil was very sandy and it took their soil away. Their grandfather applied for a transfer block. He was offered one in New South Wales out from Rankin Springs. And at that time I was 4 years old. I went down with polio and I couldn't walk. And when grandfather got this New South Wales block, he said to my parents that he said, "Bill," he said, "if you don't mind," he said, "I'd like it." He was Henry John Wilshire and I'm Henry John. And he was Jack. It was old Jack and young Jack. He said, "I'd like to take young Jack over to New South Wales with us, that the climate over there might do him better than what we are here." Anyhow, they agreed. And I came, but I never walked from the age of 4 to 6 and a half. I came over with Grandma and Grandfather on the wagon, and all the gear, and all his sons come, well, not all his sons come over, it's a damn long while. And I sat between Grandma and Grandfather, and Grandma had a son called Alf, born on Tuesday, and I was born on Saturday, we're the same age, There's grandfather, grandma, and Alf and I in the middle.
When you say wagon, was it horse-drawn?
Yeah, horse-drawn wagon. Everything came out of my wagon. Grandma read and read till I was about, I suppose it'd be about 9 or 10.
Do you remember, can you remember any of the treatments that you had when you had the polio?
No, I had no treatment. In those days there was no treatment. But after 2.5 years I started to, my legs started to become good. And I did a family tree trip in 1988. And I went down to Rankin Springs where we were. And I forgot to put fuel in my vehicle. There's only fuel up in the main towns.
Mm.
And I pulled into Springs to Murrayville, where I was born. And I had a utility and I had a wood tree. And I had some damn good wood on the back. Pulled up this little service station there and a chap came out and he said, got some good firewood there. I said, that's not firewood. I said, I'd do wood turning. What are you doing all the way out here? And I try to be an honest person. I said, I'll be quite honest. I said, I forgot the fuel up. That's one look. I said, I thought I'd better fuel up here. He said, oh, that's what you're doing here, passing through. I said, have you been here long? You know, I wanted to stop at Murrayville to have a look at the hospital I was born in. Been here all my life. I said, well, that's strange. If you've been there all your life, as a matter of fact, I was born here. So I said, so was I. You were born here? Yeah. I said, I'm going to call up the hospital where I was born. He said, you won't find it now. It's been demolished. There's a doctor's surgery there. He said, I want you to come inside before you go. He said, leave your head over there. And he had this massive building, everything in it. All out the back is diesel tanks and he had the, he was making big money with the wheat and all the tractors.
Mm.
His wife's down the books. He said, I'd like you to meet someone. Lovey's a Wilshire. What was your granddad's name? I said, Henry John Wilshire. And up on the wall behind the thing was a great big map of the district. And they allocated the land then days in a square mile, 640 acres. He said, see that up there? H.J. Wilshire, lots of so. He said, that's your grandfather's block.
Mm.
Okay. See that one there next to it, and see that one there and that one there. There's four. He said, I own the lot. He said, I own the lot. Yes, he said. They left the place, they weren't making money, so I said to wife, well, get these. He said, before you go, I want you to go down and meet so-and-so. He said, they've got a little paper shop and a little shop down on the corner. They don't open till 10:30. And the truck comes through, the bus. Went down and knocked on the door. Woman come out and back door. I said, oh, I forget his name. I said, my name is Wilshire. I said, I've been told to meet your husband. Well, he said, we're getting ready to go and get some wood. He's down the back sharpening his chainsaw. And he's holding me. Oh, we had a great time. Said to his wife, he said, I told you one day that a Wilshire would walk through that back door. And he looked at me walking. He said, I remember you, he said, when your granddad first came here. He said, you were like a bloody monkey. He said, you lived down the horse yard in the stables. He said, pulling yourself up on the mains was all playing with horses, 14 horse teams, big Clydesdale. He said, you'd haul yourself up on top and sit on them. He said, and you'd hang onto the fence and go all around the fence. I was very strong in the arms in day. And I put that down to me walking, that activity. I think if it would have been in a normal home with mum,
I
wouldn't have had that activity. You know, I stopped with him over the years. Grandma theoretically read me. And then Dad, eventually, he learnt the electrical game and I went back to mum and Dad. And when the war broke out, I was always mad on aircraft. And I was feeling it was so responsive. I was working for I went in, Tommy Slaven and I went in to Newcastle and enlisted. I didn't enlist. We made application for enlistment in the Air Force. We did our medical in Newcastle and Hunter Street. I failed the medical. Did a polio, I got a lot of defects around my body. And they wanted perfect specimens in those. Tommy passed. He failed air crew and finished up a clerk in England. And, I was denied the privilege of you know, going away. Mm. A little disappointed in that.
Still fine.
Well, I know, as Val said though, if you did, you'd possibly be alive or dead, and you wouldn't have any money, which is true.
Yeah. So when you were married in 1943, you were living at Swansea, and you came by boat to work at Rathbone.
Used to come with, Nanny Payne had a boat. We'd come from Lake Road Boards Boat Shed to Rathmines. We'd travel down what they call Boards Channel. They cut a channel to launch their ships out. They built for the American Navy. And we'd come up and back every day. And in real lousy weather, when the lake was that rough, it was dangerous, the commanding officer of the air base would send a crash boat with us as we founded.
Mm-hmm.
He'd escort us over and then come back. I did that for quite a long while.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was about six or seven of us on that boat. They had a butcher shop in Swansea.
So what did he do over there at Rathmines?
I'm at the air base.
Oh, yeah, yeah, at Rathmines. But did Ernie Payne actually work, or did you...
No, he was RAAF.
Oh, he was.
They were all RAAF on the boat.
Oh, I see.
Except me.
Right.
Okay. I don't know what it was, I forget now. Some were armourers, some were toolies, engine fitters.
Mm-hmm.
No, Ernie was marine.
Right.
Coxswain.
Yeah.
Coxswain.
Go on any of the other boats that were there?
No, never on the other boats.
Your wife was saying that Santa Claus used to arrive by boat.
Yeah, that was, I think that was after the war. Not real sure whether it was after the war or not. It would have been, because the children were starting to get a bit of size on them, and the war ended in 45.
Right.
That was a big turnout. We'll go out there in the lake on the Bung boat, and Santa would come along, and it was good days.
Mm-hmm. What have you got to show me there? This was your pass to get on to the into the bases and so on? He's that good looking fella.
Got more... changed a bit. Had to keep getting those renewed.
This is 1st of February 1945.
Yeah, it'll have to be. The other one would have run out. That's the date of issue.
64 inches high.
And they extended that to the December 45?
Yes.
There's something about that that's unusual. I had another one for Williamtown too. Between the all hours.
Yes, I read that. Priority pass. If you get, how could you get there at all hours, though?
Yep. I just look at them. They'll slide. That hasn't altered, has it?
We've got the book Rathmines by John Newton. You said you knew a lot of the people that are in this book. Did you meet them socially or through your work?
No, I met them through my work. For example, Harry Creek. Warrant Officer Creek. Harry Creek was in charge of the main workshop and the main hangar. And if a machine broke down, we'd get a phone call to go and get it going. Or if new machinery came, go down and have a look at it, and we'd do the installation to get it running. And it happened in all departments, anything electrical, any maintenance or installation.
What about marine?
Only thing we did with marine was the marine building at the point at Rathmines, the same problem. If they lost power, or if they had a bandsaw or a circular saw that wouldn't run electrically, they weren't allowed to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go down and get it going. And